You're listening to Variable Play Podcast, brought to you by no one. We're paying for this crap.
All right. So welcome, everyone. I am Ron, and I am the author of the Variable Play website, and this is our very first episode, our pilot episode, which has a funky title, Board of State of the Nation or something.
Bars. Yeah, we're working on it.
And with me today are my friends from the industry. There's two of them here. One is my editor, in fact, in Variable Play.
Hello. Reg. Hi.
Yeah, and then the other one is Jose. But to give you guys a background of us, let me start, I guess. So in real life, I do a lot of IT stuff, systems architecture and branding. But in gaming, I've been gaming since I was a kid, doing a lot of Magic, World of Warcraft. And now recently into board gaming. How about you, Jose?
Yeah, hi. I'm Jose Rajas. I'm a manager of a local board game store located in Makati, behind New World Hotel. And my job is to teach and sell board games.
Cool. And Sir Reg?
I'm Reg. I'm a writer. So I handle CrossFit blog, I guess, and I also write for magazines and online. I was actually president of Athenians on the Boards in grade 4.
Ooh.
Well, thank you.
I made my own board game called Quotes and Verses, and it's even published.
Ooh. Edikona.
Edikona rin.
Editayo na.
We should cut that.
Anyway, so yeah, there I was. Yeah, and what else? I got my start in D&D, Dungeons and Dragons.
Nice.
Yeah. Favorite games are Twilight Struggle, Netrunner, and Game of Thrones.
Cool. And yes, as I've said, he is actually my editor in Variable Play. Mm-hmm. No article can ever get out without his signature.
Thank you.
So and if he
why
does
there's not much article.
Yeah, they don't pass.
Must
you know, I would write them, and I have to be of a certain quality. But that's how we run things here at Variable Play. We make sure that things are
perfect.
Awesome.
Better than okay.
All right. So just to get things warmed up, let's talk about the recent games we played. How about you, Jose? What was your recent gaming experience?
My recent game experience that I would like to share is we tried to play this game called Ikusa.
Okay.
Now, Ikusa is a Japanese war game where you're trying to fight and conquer Japan.
Okay.
Now, the big thing is with the game, it's very intimidating.
Is that like a two-player game, four-player game?
Well, it's up to six.
Up to six-player
game.
I believe so. And
who do you play as, though? Do you
you're
play
playing
as, like,
as
a
war,
or a peasant?
No, you're
or
playing
like
as one of the warring factions in Japan.
Okay.
So the cool thing about this game is it really feels like a war game where you're going around, you're trying to conquer states, you're trying to recruit people, and in total, kill each other.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay.
How was the experience? Was it?
Yeah. Do you have cards? Do you have
it's
cards?
It's very positive.
In your hand?
It's all about. You don't have cards. You get dice.
Okay.
Now the dice will determine your success in battle.
Uh huh. Are they like six-sided dice or special
just
dice?
Six-sided. Just generics. So anyway, the game is just. I was surprised on how much it feels like a video game.
A video game. Okay.
Yeah. I would compare it to Shogun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
Total War.
Well,
nice.
How about you, Rich? What
Me,
was your recent?
Wow, lately I've been into Ultimate Frisbee.
Okay.
So.
How does that board game play?
So, do you roll a d20?
He
rolls with dudes.
I roll in the ground. Anyway, recent game, recent board game, really? I'm not sure. I love TS, Twilight Struggle.
Okay.
Recently, the game we played was Splendor.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's
remember that game?
Yeah, of course.
No text, and of course, what's that Egyptian game you love? We love.
Oh, Kemet.
Kemet. I love Kemet. So it's
the Egyptian war game.
The Egyptian war game.
That
play.
Is Euro. There's no dice
there's no
rolls.
Dice.
No dice.
There is dice there.
technically, it's not used as dice.
I don't allow it to be rolled.
I love the concept that you fight for the Nile, Egypt as a representative of one of the gods, and you have to build up your civilization according to, say, resources or defensive or offensive strategies.
Yeah, there. Cool. My recent gaming isn't as big as you guys, but it was also really epic in its own sense. It was a simple game called Snake Oil. So I got a game called Snake Oil, and I got it from Germany. So it's a unique version of the game. The cards are actual bottles.
Bottles.
They're vials.
They're vials. They look like small vials of words.
Okay.
Because there's multiple languages on the word, and the very bottom word is in English. And the way the game works is you pick a card, and that is your client. And one player will be the client for the turn, and then everybody else has to
sell him snake oil.
They will take two cards, and it will be a combination that they have to make a pitch within 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
To add variety to the game, I made a variable play to it by combining two cards as the client instead. Mm-hmm. One of the most epic we've heard. There's two. One was what was with Jose. I think. What was the name of the robot? The scientist dog, right?
The scientist dog.
The scientist dog. And I won that because I gave him a frisbee button.
Frisbee button.
It's a button that you press and a frisbee comes up.
Well, it went against.
I need to play this game immediately.
The second runner up was they were selling him a mistake horse.
Yeah.
Mistake horse, which is a horse you blame your mistakes on.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anything in life.
So like a whipping boy, something like that.
Yeah, pretty much a whipping boy.
Yeah. The other time that was there was a rapper priest. So my office mate was actually in character. He was like, yo, praise the Lord, yo. and it was funny because
that accent is kind of scary.
Because the players were really engrossed into trying to sell a product for this rapper priest, but eventually, the heavenly toilet won.
I like this game because it comes out with different kinds of combinations that might sound weird.
Okay.
Especially the pregnant woman hunter.
Pregnant women.
Yeah,
the hunter.
Yeah.
While generally it's using very GP, general patronage words, there's nothing like Cards Against Humanity in it. You can still squeeze in some.
PG.
PI. Politically incorrect.
Yes. Okay.
Politically incorrect, people.
Okay. All right, cool.
The word I was looking for was scapegoat.
Not whipping boy.
So that's
although a whipping boy technically is the etymology of that word is you say royalty was found to be misbehaving. He could transfer the punishment to his whipping boy. That's why to a boy. That's another guy. So that's the etymology of the term whipping boy.
Yeah. Well, you learn something new every day.
Yeah. That's normally our conversation when we have coffee with Reg. But I guess that's really why I love this hobby is because of all the epic moments that you can come out with it,
very
right?
True.
When we went out and. And taught board games to kids on the He Cares Foundation. And today we are joined by my son.
Yeah.
He's our special guest.
Is that who this guy is? Hello.
Hi there.
Hey, buddy.
Say hi.
Can you introduce yourself?
Hello, I am Rain. I love board games because I love it on how education was created in board games.
Wow.
The recent game I played is Pathfinder.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a pen and paper board game,
okay.
Which use your mind to make for you to have adventure.
Are you about to say I got to make a strong dwarven barbarian?
Because
he has a little here.
Yeah. That's cool. He's prepared.
He is.
Okay.
Let me finish. All right.
So continue.
Something board games teach.
What I like about my dwarven barbarian is that my health is 17. I actually already added my toughness.
Okay.
And by that year, in cleric, that's a cleric, but his life, he already has toughness, I think so.
Yeah, but I'm just at 14. Yeah.
Oh. So did you save your dad? Is that what you're going to say?
Well,
no.
No, you did not save your dad.
We will not go into details.
Well, I know it's all because my dad, yesterday, we played Pathfinder.
Uh-huh.
Well, I was losing because I had 4 health left. And I was really that scared. And good thing, the 2 goblins and the king just hit me.
They missed. Yeah, it was an epic finish. But we weren't able to finish the adventure yet. But yeah, so in board gaming and in tabletop gaming, like RPG, for example, and we shared that in the He Cares Foundation, and we taught kids how to play board games. And these kids don't have access to board games, especially modern board games, because they're expensive. And they're pretty quick in learning them. They can't do a little bit Euro technical stuff.
Uh-huh.
But that was epic because Rain was like teaching them how to play, but he doesn't know how to speak Filipino. So.
Really? At all?
Rain, can you say a few words in Filipino?
Go.
Okay.
Got it.
So he's that.
Okay.
Very... So it was funny, the kids were like teasing him because they were like doing like nose bleeding signs whenever he talks.
Yeah.
But it was hilarious. It was a great time. And that's really the cool thing about this hobby. It's like the
epic
moment.
Yeah, you can share it with anyone.
I remember one epic moment.
Go.
It was this game and it's called King of Tokyo.
Okay.
And the goal of the game is you play as one of the iconic monsters. So you get Godzilla or King Kong persons or giant
King
alien
Kong-ish.
Rabbit. Yeah. Panda people. And
the Nut King Kong.
And the goal is to get enough points to by dominating Tokyo. And you have these special powers which you can purchase throughout the game. And I remember it started off as an 8-player game.
Uh-huh.
We're all warring with each other, and it ended up with just 3 of us. It was me, a jack-o'-lantern thing, this creature from the deep, and Mechagodzilla.
Okay.
And I got killed, and it was down to the last second, but I had this card that said I had a progeny. So I got my health back up to half-life, and Mechagodzilla and deep person were like battling each other because they're the bigger threat, and I ended up winning by like this
from behind.
From behind, as in if the guy rolled 1-2, I'd be dead, and I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. So that is pretty cool. Mm. And King of Tokyo does it looks simple at the start, a little
it's
bit
very
too
strategic.
Simple
it's
like, you know, first time I saw it, it was like, really, we're just rolling dice.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
And people think it's just dice.
The challenge of the game is to know when to hold on or when to let go. Actually, that's the thing.
Well, it's like when do you buy a car?
Sorry, Google. What?
When do you want? To?
Sorry, go.
Yeah, the strategy of the game is when to enter Tokyo, when to go for items, when to go for energy,
when to tell people, hey, you know, you really should kill the biggest threat.
Yes. Then.
Yeah. So it gave you a very simple framework,
but
a lot of room for social interaction in between.
That's sort of.
And that's where the fun, you know, really comes out in
the
that game.
It's
when people start role playing their character.
Although I've never heard anyone role play.
Some of my if I would be playing that for some of my game groups, yes, I will be hearing King Kong and
the chest beating.
The chest beating and all that, yeah. Uh-huh. How about you, Jose? What's your epic moment?
Yeah, my epic
remember?
Moment would be just recently I ran a D&D game.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is for a group that barely played D&D.
Okay.
And they would rather play video games.
Okay, barely played, okay.
Yeah.
So, like...
What?
They're
was
not,
that
they're
wrong?
Not, they're
What's
not.
That glint in your eye I see?
They're
was
not.
There another word after barely?
So, well, I'm not gonna go there. But anyway, so this group, there was this one player who just started. He just joined the game, and he knew nothing about the game.
Okay.
So, throughout the adventure, he was just goofing around.
What was he playing? What was his
character? He was playing a warrior, human warrior.
Oh, human warrior. Oh.
And so he was level 1, while everyone was level 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, throughout the adventure, a champion had to arise. The enemy Dragonborn challenged the town's champion.
Okay.
So now, the group decided, hey, let's throw in the level 1 guy.
Okay.
So the guy was like, oh, crap.
Okay.
Because, you know, he's level 1 and he's fighting against a level 5 dragon.
Uh-huh.
But the cool thing was, the whole team was behind him. They were buffing him up.
Oh.
They were giving him... how do you call this?
That must be nice to feel supported.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, that's what
friendships
what's cool
and
about
deeper
the game.
Relationships
the,
are all
yeah.
about.
Your friends
Rents
are right
your,
there beside
your
you.
Internal issues.
Sorry.
We will have a special podcast for that. I know. Hashtag who got the lens.
Go.
So with the support of his friends, he faced the challenge and he actually won.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah,
oh,
so
interesting.
Against
did he get all the experience?
Of course he does.
Mm.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. I gave it to him.
Okay, fine.
So it's cool how after he says this was actually better than a game I just recently played.
Aww.
Well, he was referring to a video game. Of
okay.
course.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's because when the beauty of board gaming is because the designers, you know, being a designer myself,
yeah.
you sort of...
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, come on.
Let me
I cannot relate.
Let me lift my chair a little bit.
Go on.
Just kidding. But you're forced to work with simple mechanics because it has to translate fast.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be easily taught and explained. The game now has to transcend into an experience. And that's what digital gaming lack.
Very true. What I find beautiful about board games, because I used to be a major video gamer,
mm-hmm.
is that with board games, there is no third-party medium. You don't hold a controller, have a computer decide what to display on screen, then have that other person look at the screen and respond to that. No, it's just you
and
the other person across the table. And these little pieces of colored plastic or bits of wood,
yeah.
And the rules and the world that you create with the other persons you're playing with. That's why for me, Twilight Struggle is like nothing before because it's one on one, but it's very very visceral.
Yeah, it's deep,
it's,
and
it's,
and you kind of it's a game that you dream of. The night after you play it.
Yeah.
And then you talk
my
about,
God, how did I not
what,
see that?
Why didn't I send Castro to space?
Yes.
Like, Rain, I think you like woke up a couple of times last night because of after the game, your brain was still sort of like...
Rain is 11, by the way.
Yeah.
You should describe him. He's kind of chubby. He's definitely cute. He's bunching his fists up right now. Please don't murder me.
Alright, tell us about your adventure. Anything you want to share?
What did you get?
I got...
No. The best thing is explain the epic final move that you did.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was trying... I got really mad since the king for me got hit 4 damage.
Okay, the king hit 4 damage.
Yes.
He was down to 8 life.
Okay.
He got hit by 4.
Oh, so 50% off. Okay.
Yeah.
You're done.
So,
you're like bleeping.
So, I still charge at the king.
Okay.
What my special movement is, I got my warhammer.
Uh-huh.
I pounced in the ground. It bounced. I was running after the king. I got it back and smashed him in the head.
Oh,
so he was like doing like
a Thor thing.
A Thor thing. He slams it on the ground. The hammer starts to spin on top. He does a somersault thing just for kicks.
Uh-huh.
Catches it in midair and then slams the king, which was actually...
He was killed.
Yeah, he was at 1 life left.
Okay.
But I didn't tell him that.
He
could have just like poked him.
Go
ahead. So
there's a thing. These games simulate the imagination.
Yeah.
You have to build it in your head.
It exercises imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like most, it promotes
socialization. Proper socialization.
Exactly.
Not who you, why you there, as little text.
And just like, or share
like. Yeah.
And, you know, these board games that... It's better to play with someone in front of you. There are games that...
Absolutely. How do you even begin to explain that? Like, there's this whole
There's a different level of play. Especially now board games have apps.
It's a whole level of dynamic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you're interacting with someone, more so that the game expands beyond the game.
Exactly.
After the game, when you start discussing about the game. And I guess really that's the reason why I started variable play, is because I feel that our nation sort of needs more information and more awareness about this hobby.
This hobby.
Exactly.
That,
because
there's this word I'm really looking for right now. It's not bandwidth. It's like it's definition. The difference between high definition and low definition. It's the
quality.
It's something like that. It's Jesus. I wish I was a writer.
But,
right?
But
well, you're speaking right now, so I'll give you.
You can try to write it down.
Maybe. This whole
because now it's kind of hard because there are board game apps. They're trying to win the hearts of the board gamers, but the problem is, it's different when you're playing the app against another player than playing the actual board game with the other player in front of you.
In front of you, okay. There's this whole oh god, is there? That's the word again.
helping you out.
All right. Yeah. You can find that in later, and we'll redub it maybe in the podcast if you remember.
It's the difference between text messaging and meeting someone in person. Text messaging is high convenience, low blank. Meeting someone in person is low convenience, high blank. It's the quality
connection,
of the experience.
The substance.
I don't want to say anything because it might sound dirty.
Go.
Okay. Well, but it. In some sense, what do you guys think about how board gaming is perceived? Like
here,
like
I have this story every single time I meet new friends or anyone, and I say I'm into board games. They go, one, oh, like Monopoly, or two, oh, like Snakes and Ladders, or three, oh, board games, B-O-R-E-D, as if I haven't heard that for like a million times, and they're laughing at themselves, feeling I'm so clever. I thought of all of this.
No, you're not.
it's just
in our heads. No, you're not.
You know, you try to understand where they're coming from, but yeah, there. I just wish. Yeah,
it's a. Whenever my friends, my other parents would see me and my son play games, and they see expansive games like Power Grid and Kemet, and they were like, oh. What games are you guys playing? Is that like Monopoly? Is that like Life?
Yeah,
or some other
letters or chess?
Yes. Yeah.
Like I met someone who's like, no, there's only one game that people should play. It's chess. And I'm like, dude, I get you. It's an abstract game, but you know, you don't really interact with your opponent in chess. That's the thing I don't like about it.
There's nothing.
It's fun to beat someone.
Yes.
That's one thing.
To outthink someone.
Yeah.
But it's all about memorization.
Oh, that's
true.
Yeah,
in a way.
Yeah, yeah. But, and sort of being aware of everything that can happen and whatnot. But really, in life, do we need more stress?
That's true.
It's like we are already working our asses to make a living and all that. With gaming, what I feel that really is helping is when you meet people and you see different walks of life, different cultures and backgrounds.
Unified
in one
in
room,
this
one
reality.
Table. Or
more
yeah.
important, one reality.
Yeah, you suddenly see yourself
There's a
level playing field.
Yeah.
You're either competing or trying to save the world.
Together.
Together.
Or against each other.
Or one of you guys is secretly conspiring and giddy.
That happens a lot. That happens a lot.
Giddy.
Even
like
in a pro-op game, that happens a lot.
Although you'll be surprised how easy it is for casual gamers to get into those kinds of games. My Frisbee team recently discovered, I think, Renaissance, was it? The one?
Resistance.
Resistance.
Yeah.
Resistance. Is that the one where there's a spy, there's a traitor?
Yes.
Yeah, there's
yes.
a spy
yes.
and a government.
Well, that is the thing though that I'm noticing recently is like I would now meet people who are now aware of these games, and that's really a good thing because like I one of my professors in marketing was like I know the game Resistance. But I haven't tried Avalon. I'm like, what? How do you guys know that? Because I perceive gaming as sort of still a niche market, but now it's really tapping into
mainstream. I think we're at the point where everyone's aware that there are these brand new games.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that they're trying to cope with it.
Curious, what do you guys think is the biggest hurdle from gaming becoming quote unquote niche to mainstream?
That's a tough one.
Well, currently, I think the Philippines is like the China right now of board gaming, because it's just bursting. And I'm going to quote one of the store owners here. But he mentioned to me that they don't really need to cooperate at the moment, because the industry is so young that they are all getting their own little pieces of land.
Oh, I see.
Okay. But the thing is that for me, that's in the perspective of just their area. But if you're looking at the Philippines as a whole, there's so much more effort that needs to be done.
Exactly.
And I see that effort actually not coming from these
the
gaming companies or stores. They're actually coming from us,
from
the individuals outside of the gaming industry. And I'm glad Jose is here. He's half inside, half outside. It's sort of the same thing with me, so now that I'm also working with the publishers and like that. Really, it's the effort is coming from the public, from the gamers themselves.
Now, I'd like to talk about a group of role players who are actually holding seminars on how to run your
game.
And we've been having this for every last Sunday of the month. So that's a cool thing that, you know, they're pushing, they're trying to educate people that you can run your own game. It's not that hard. It's really simple.
Yeah.
I like to do that.
Yeah, we're
do you think cost is an issue? Wait, a board game...
cost.
Like,
well,
definitely a convention, for example, it's like the epic dream that I have for the Philippines, like to have
like
our own
Gen
Con. Gen Con is a
what
convention.
Does Gen Con stand?
It stands for Geneva Convention.
Aha, very funny.
Really?
It does. Because the first Gen Con was held in Geneva.
Okay.
So in commemoration to that, they always called it Gen Con.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I just... thought it was like the general convention of everything.
I looked it up.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. I'll have you on our quiz night. Thank you, Jose.
So, like, Gen Con is this super big convention of games. And yes, there is magic there. But there's also a larger portion of just open RPGs, real live RPGs.
Miniature war games.
Escape rooms is also... also a thing now in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
There's a company in the Philippines developing
Breakout, I think.
And they're doing okay, because again, the Philippines is a young market.
And this is something new to us.
It's to be the proper term, I guess, a virgin market in some sense, because there's so many people who are just, you show them, you give them a taste of Power Grid, and they are just blown away. Like,
no, hey, Power Grid is a game where you basically try and become a electric monopoly.
Just like what we have right now.
Are we putting politics here?
No, I'm not kidding. But I mean, the game is great.
But the game is,
The game is
very...
excellent.
And Jose has a nice statistics trivia on that game.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't lost a game.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I have not lost a game. 100%
hit rate.
I think we're... you're going to open your shop at 3 o'clock.
Well, I'm Mayweathering the game, so...
You're
he played
the game.
Yeah, he played the game once.
No, I played the game thrice now.
Okay.
I played the game thrice, haven't lost a single time, and I'm not playing it again.
Interesting topic, though. What attracts you to games? What do you think will draw people in? Do you think theme is a big thing?
I personally believe it's in the mechanics.
Mechanics.
If the mechanics is unique, people are interested in it. People will experiment with it.
Okay.
Definitely the look and feel.
The look and feel, so the graphics quality,
the
quality
theme
of the materials.
Sometimes turns them off.
Okay, I
know. Like, I'm talking about like general public. Mm-hmm. If it's for gamers, you're correct. I'm attracted to mechanics and Rondell systems and weird auctions and whatnot. But for example, I taught my wife Star Realms, and she kind of plays it, and she would win sometimes, but it doesn't connect to her. She's just forced to play because of being the supportive wife.
Okay, I'll war with you for space.
Okay, sure.
I'll buy this tiny spaceship.
What does that do? Oh, I won. Yay.
But one thing that worked with her was like a 8-minute empire.
Oh,
and it's a very small Euro area control game.
I'd imagine.
Yeah, but it's around 20 minutes, and you're just trying to expand your territory into this regions, and depending on the number of regions you're controlling and the goods that you have, there's a little bit of set collection where you're collecting a certain number of goods and you get points. Very bland, simple. To very thematic people, it's really that's a game, but. These are the games that works with the public because it looks
simple,
acceptable for them. It's like, oh, I can imagine this.
Are you telling me because it's the story we are taught?
I guess, yeah.
I
mean, they were not exposed into the RPG, the fantasy aspect.
Yeah,
so Lord of the Rings, for example, can work because they've seen the movie. I don't know if you guys have friends where it's the movie already showing and they keep asking you things. Who's that? Who's that?
Oh, yeah. I have and it's not only about Lord of the Rings. It's about Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Cool. You have friends. That's awesome.
When I mean friends,
what are those?
When I mean friends, I mean customers.
I have to buy something.
That's how sad my life is.
No.
Go.
Yeah, but so.
I have a question.
Yeah, go.
Yeah, go.
How does education come to board games?
Ooh.
You see,
your father wrote an article on this.
Yeah, yeah. The balancing aspect of making a game that teaches something versus it actually can teach something is different because if you're required to do something, it's not fun.
Exactly.
But if you explore, you're free to elaborate and discover yourself, then it becomes an enriching experience.
Just
and that's
like role playing.
Yes, just
kind
like
of.
Role playing, because it trains your mind to paint a picture in front of you and immerse yourself in that environment, and also to think on your feet in terms of the decisions and the tricks that you're going to do. Is it proper to just smash the goblin that's just talking about the lost toy or ask them first what they are talking about and not endangering the father and son adventure team. We're just three rooms.
Okay, so wait. Who is the hashtag Google? Are you sure it's me?
Yeah, we're gonna cut it there.
There
but anyway, it's a good point.
Yeah.
It is a good point, yeah. On a more simple note, some games actually teach you concepts like chemistry. Right?
Yes. Like
Or marketing. Just like Power Grid. I'm sorry, but that's my favorite game. All
right.
Yeah.
Win with the windmills.
Yes. No, I didn't win with the windmills. Nuclear power for
okay.
the
windmills.
Well, my dad said I'm good at it, but just every time in an ending, I would have one mistake and I get loose.
Well, and that's what...
That's fine.
That's the whole idea of it.
Because
afterwards, you have something to talk about.
Because if you remember that if you keep winning on a game, you're not learning anything new
exactly.
in it.
You learn more from a loss than a win.
Yeah.
So why are you not playing?
I don't want to learn anything anymore. I'm at a point where I'm in the zone.
All right.
So I guess we can end the show. If this is something interesting for you guys, the listeners out there. Do send us a message, drop us a tweet or something, and We would like to know more what you guys think.
If you feel we should do a second podcast, if you feel we should remove someone here.
Oh, come on.
Okay, I get it.
Or you can, if you want to ask a question about board games in general.
Or like, another topic you want us to talk about. Maybe.
Yeah. Yes, just send us a message. You can see us in Facebook. It's facebook.com/variableplay. It'll be posted there soon. This was recorded April 3, 2015.
Uh-huh.
Jose, have you prepared an ending credits?
Oh, I would like to thank my sponsor, my wallet. Oh, and I had to walk here.
You walked. Wow, that's incredible. But although when you consider Makati's lack of traffic,
exactly,
you know, it's a pleasure.
Yeah. And today was a good day to walk.
Yeah, it's a good Friday today.
Till Sunday, I think.
Because it's Good Friday.
It's Good Friday.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, that was a great show, guys. I thank you for joining me.
Mm.
It is pretty awesome to have something started, and you know, just from a very simple let's try this, and then we just did it.
Yeah,
so cool. Rain, thank you also for joining us.
Yay!
See you guys next time. Bye.
And that was Variable Play Podcast.
No sniffing. Doing all now. It's recording, by the way.
Get it all in range.
Go ahead.